Today on the Profitable Tradie podcast.
But we need to put a bow on the year that's been. All right, if you want to switch off end of year, you need to be able to leave last year in last year. So there's two parts of this for me. Number one is you need to put a bow on the good stuff. Number two is you need to put a bow on the bad stuff, because good stuff and bad stuff happens every year, but it's all already happened. And so we need to be able to close out what's happened so that we can focus on what will happen next.
As we head into Christmas, most people are looking forward to having a break and starting the new year feeling refreshed and invigorated. But for lots of us, when we get to the end of the Christmas holidays, we're just as stressed, worn out, and broken as we were at the start. And we start the new year on the back foot. Business owners, we're often thinking about everyone else, our employees, etc. You just got to be careful on holiday that you don't fill everyone else's cup. You've got to fill yours as well. And I don't mean being selfish. I'm not meaning that. But you do need to be a little bit, you know, selfish sometimes. Now, tune into this episode. We'll go through some processes to make sure you have a great holiday, you feel rejuvenated, and are ready for a cracking new year. Welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones, your host, with Phil Smith, my good mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good, bro. Always good. Ready to roll.
Heading into the Christmas vacation.
Oh, yeah. Ready to go, man.
Let's get into it, man. This is important because often it's not as much fun as you hope.
And obviously what we're talking about today is, you know, how to really switch off over Christmas. Because I think too often we get to this Christmas break and we know we're going to take a little bit of time off. We're really looking forward to it. We want to be rested, rejuvenated, you know, fill those batteries up to full so we can hit the ground running in the new year. But unfortunately, we get to that holiday, we take that time off, and it just doesn't work out that way, right? Like, we can actually end up feeling just the same as we did going in. In fact, even a little worse, because you start to feel guilt over the fact that deep down you know you didn't actually, you know, make the most of that holiday, even put that negativity or that stress into the family environment, maybe even not, you know, had the best holiday for your family either. So pretty tough. And I think we need to tackle this so that we can make sure everyone has a great holiday and actually makes the most of it and hits the ground running in 2026.
Yeah, well, I don't have a story as such today. It's more of a reflection on my own life, because I've found this super difficult. You'll have a break and I almost feel like a heroin addict coming off the crack. You know, is heroin crack? I don't know. That's cocaine. Cocaine addict coming off the crack.
Not that I would know, but...
Yeah. Anyway, whatevers. I feel like a drug addict with withdrawal symptoms when the holidays come around, because I'm like a cat on a hot tin roof looking for stuff to do. I'm kind of like, there's not that much to do, and I'm just like antsy, and I'm kind of a pain in the backside to everyone. I'm a little bit better now because I've got less energy. I'm older, but you know, that's been a real challenge for me. And I think what we're going to talk about today, if you resonate with that, or you get to the end of your holiday and you're just like, I'm just still wrecked, and I'm just dreading going, you know, back into hard out business, this is going to be super, super helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even for me, man, I feel the same at times. I find if I take a 2-week break over that time, for example, it takes me the whole first week to get my head out of work, and then by the time I get to the end of the second week, my head's so far out of work, I find it hard to get going again when I get home. So,
well, I'm just happy you've pulled your head out of your backside. But that's,
yeah,
all good.
Well, you know, I try, bro. I try. Right. Yeah. We'll start up there. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I think the key is we need to get this right. And if we don't, and we go in, you know, without a real strategy, we can run into some real problems over that Christmas break. I think the first one is that you're just distracted. And like, you know it, your family knows it, but your head is somewhere else. You're still thinking about those jobs that went sideways, or how hectic it was in those last couple of weeks leading up to Christmas, trying to get everything done. You know, your head's still in the people that owe you money, the team members that were, you know, sooky about something. All those problems are still there. And so the hard part is, if you can't switch off from them, you're distracted from what's in front of you. You know, you're trying to have a good time, you're trying to relax, you're trying to make memories with your family, but you know, you're not where your feet are. And I think that can create a real problem.
Yeah, it's a great phrase, be where your feet are, be present. And that is very stressful. You're actually still generating all those stress hormones, even when you're supposed to be on holiday, because you're cycling through all the stuff that you've got to do. And your brain, you know, can't make the difference between what's real and what you're thinking. Yeah. You know, you're not actually sitting in front of your computer or on the phone chasing money, but you're thinking about it, so you're going to have the same stress response. And we know a lot more about stress these days, and I know it from my own life. You know, if you wear any kind of Whoop or Oura ring, you can see the days that you've been stressed, how it impacts your body at night. You know, my resting heart rate is way, way higher. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. And so you're doing that to yourself the whole time when you're supposed to be resting, just because you're thinking about stuff.
Well, then you wake up in the morning, you check the data, and then you become stressed about the fact that you were stressed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm an expert at that. But anyway.
Yeah. So it just compounds. So,
yeah. And then there's that dirty little secret when you snuck off somewhere
and you secretly worked.
You're secretly working.
Yeah,
you're
just we've like, all done that. You know, slip the laptop out of the bag while you're supposed to be at the beach. You know, I think, you know, we've all done it, right? You know, like, you're sitting at home, family dinner or some kind of like activity going on, and you slip off to the bathroom because you need to go. But while you're there, you know, you check your emails, you maybe reply to a couple. And the thing is you think you're getting away with it, but you're not, okay? Everyone knows that, you know, you were doing that. And the phone comes out, you're checking it, you walked out of the bathroom, and instead of looking relieved, you look more stressed. And you know, people pick up on it. You think it's a secret. It's not. Everyone knows. And you're trying to sneak in this work. It's like, and at some point, you just give up and go, bugger it. I'm just going to get the laptop out and do some stuff. Everyone knows anyway. You know, there's no point hiding it. I'll just do, you know, a couple hours work and then it'll be good. But it's not.
Have you ever been snapped by your wife? You're like, who are you talking to on the phone? It's like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's like, yeah. It's nothing bad. It's actually work.
But normally
yeah,
it is.
Which is just as bad.
I was talking to Phil. Yeah. Anyway.
Exactly. I'm sorry. It was Tony.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys need to leave each other alone.
That's right. But the thing is, this can actually just ruin your holiday. Like, the point is, we need a break, you know. I often think back to the Bible that God created 7 days. The seventh day is the Sabbath. And he created that for us to rest.
Yeah.
Because it's good for us to rest.
Yep.
And it's the same thing. We need those, you know, we need breaks every week, every day, every week. And then over a period of months, we need that break to kind of unpack, you know, let the nervous system unwind and get ourselves back in a good state and just enjoy life.
Yeah, well, I think if it's good enough for the big man, it should be good enough for us, right? Yeah. Whereas on the other hand, like if we can have some good strategies in place to really switch off, I think, you know, there's so much to be gained. And for me, the first one is you're truly present. Nothing quite like, you know, seeing the joy in your family's eyes when you're actually present. You are where your feet are. You're there for them. You're fully locked into whatever's going on. And, you know, they're getting the best of you. And I think that's what we all want to do. It's how we want to show up. But you actually can do this.
Well, and there's a really interesting point here, because it's not only that they get the best of you, you get the best of you. Because joy and contentment and peace come in the moment. We're getting a bit like out there now, but this is very, very powerful. And you know, often we talk about, you have kids and there's a lot of, you see the joy they have, but actually when you're really present, you feel the joy as well. It's not just about them feeling it, it's you actually feel it. You actually experience your life as it is, not kind of a glass or some kind of faraway place. And I think that's massively important.
Yeah, well, too often, you know, we look back on, you know, like these really other days of our lives. You know?
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
You know, like, I think the thing is, quite often we look back on a memory and think, man, that was awesome. But it's almost like you're enjoying it now that it was in the past more than you did at the time. And I think that's it's sad, you know, and I think we all feel a bit remorseful and regretful about that. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. You can be more present. You can enjoy things in the moment. But it really requires switching off from what was going on beforehand, which is a big part of what we're talking about today.
And business does make this more difficult, you know. If you haven't been a business owner, if you're an employee, you just don't get this. You do not understand the fact that, you know, if you don't perform, you don't eat. And so it does make it more difficult. So that's why we've got to be more intentional about it. That's why we've got to treat it more seriously, because you've got to keep the saw sharp.
Yeah, that's
old Stephen Covey. Great book.
Sharpen the saw.
He's dead just now. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Thumper, though. What is it?
He's dead just
Seven
now.
Habits of Highly Effective People. You should read that book.
You know, we always say rest ethic makes work ethic sustainable. And I think the key with this is that you need to actually be able to chill, but that does take work. And I think sometimes we think it'll just happen. You know, I'll do nothing today, which means I will chill. Not necessarily, right? Not without planning. So I think the thing is, if we actually can chill, the upside is the batteries actually do recharge. And, you know, you not only have a better holiday, but you come back as a better you as well. And you know, actually solve a lot of problems that you might have been struggling to solve prior to the holiday because you just didn't have the energy. So I think that's massive.
Well, this is the thing. Life is an energy game, isn't it? So, you know, energy is the commodity that we need to be successful. And when you get this right, you're going to have a great year. You'll be set up for success. You'll feel positive. You'll take action. You'll be in the right headspace, and you'll crack on. And it's super important for that.
Yeah, and not only that, but you have the best holiday yet. One you can really look back on and go, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, you're actually right there, because we are talking about holidays. I got a bit excited there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're back in business mode.
I know. Well, that's my problem. I'm always in business mode, and like, it's flipping
you
crazy.
You need to switch off before Christmas, my brother.
But that's right. Well, this is the thing, though. This is very important. What makes you successful is also what messes you up.
Exactly.
And the fact that if you're listening to this, you're obviously motivated. You obviously want to make changes. You're already in the top 5% of business owners, because the rest of them don't even worry about learning stuff. So you are motivated, you're an action taker, you want to kick goals, you're out there doing stuff. That attribute is the same thing that keeps you tired, because you're always on the go.
Yeah.
And so this is why it's so important.
Yeah, absolutely critical. Well, getting into how we do this, I think the first point I want to make is putting a bow on it. Forgive the Christmas pun. But we need to put a bow on the year that's been, All right, if you want to switch off end of year, you need to be able to leave last year in last year. So there's two parts of this for me. Number one is you need to put a bow on the good stuff. Number two is you need to put a bow on the bad stuff, because good stuff and bad stuff happens every year, but it's all already happened. And so we need to be able to close out what's happened so that we can focus on what will happen next. So for me, first one, if you want to close out the good, have a really good reflection on all of the wins that you've had over the year. By doing that, you're able to celebrate, you know, feel good, make sure that you actually give yourself props, celebrate your momentum, you know, and just get that pump up of the wins. But also then say, cool, I've experienced that now. I've got those wins. I'm getting the momentum. Cool, that's done. It's done.
Can I jump in on the wins? I love wins. Like having wins, but like celebrating them for other people as well. And we make a habit of this in our Million Dollar Tradie coaching program to celebrate wins. And the reason is because it's very easy to focus on all the shit that you need to do. The wins are what gives you confidence, because you can see that you've actually done stuff to improve your situation. And when you reflect on that, you're like, actually, I'm a bit of a weapon. I can make a difference. And that actually builds confidence in yourself. And you're like, wow, I did this. I made this thing happen. Maybe I can do that again. And it's like compounding interest. You know, you keep celebrating the wins, you get more confident, you're more willing to put it out there to get more wins. So just wanted to drop that in there, bro.
Yeah, 100%. No, good point, man. Now, I think the next part is obviously you gotta put a bow on the bad stuff too. So there would have been some bad things happen in the year. That's okay. You know, like, Ronnie Doss, one of our guest speakers recently at our event, absolutely amazing guy, trains people at NASA, like he's a genius. And he's talking about you can never actually lose, ever, as long as you learn from the things that go wrong. And I think, you know, there'll be some stuff that's happened over the year which wasn't great. You know, it wasn't your best moment, or it wasn't something that worked out very well, whatever it is. But you need to put a bow on that too. And this can often be harder, but we need to accept that it's like, hey, something bad happened. What did I learn from that? How can I do it better next time? You know, or maybe even celebrate, hey, I got through that. You know, and I'm a strong person, you know, acknowledge your resilience, whatever it might be, but then just put a bow on that, leave it in the previous year. And that's a bit harder, which is why we do the wins first, because it's going to give you that surge to be able to actually, you know, put a bow on the bad stuff too. But one way or another, we need to leave last year and last year. That's the key. Which brings us to the next thing, which is preloading.
It is. Well, you write it down. I think that's probably what I was going to say with that stuff is, having a journal or something is so helpful. Like, you just write those things. Actually write them down. Don't just do it mentally. Write them down, because that gets it on paper. There's something quite psychological about that. Yeah. It's outside of you. You can see it. It's like almost downloading or defragging your hard drive.
In fact, if you want to take that a step further, is write it down and then share it. Share it with somebody. So if you've got a, you know, peer group that you can go, you know, share with, or maybe, you know, some other people that you know in trades, or, you know, your spouse is a really good person to do this with. You know, each write down your wins and your losses, share them at the end of the year, and then, you know, together put a bow on it. It can be a lot easier thing to do. So,
mate, you're the expert at preloading.
Preloading.
Not drinks, I mean the year, but, you know, back in the day.
Back in the day, not anymore. But yeah, so the next thing is we need to preload for New Year. So I think one of the big things is you can go into that break and you can just be so focused on all the stuff that's going to happen in the new year. And so you might not mentally, you know, you might not be where your feet are. And so sometimes we're not where our feet are because we didn't put a bow on last year. We're still in last year. Sometimes we're not where our feet are because we're actually already in next year. So our brain is thinking about all the stuff we're going to have to do when we get back. Whereas if we want to switch off, what we can do before we go on a holiday or a break is we can start to plan and preload what we will do when we come back from that break. Make a plan for the things that you need to solve, the actions you need to take. You know, we've done a pod before on the preloaded year. There's a whole process around this, but we get our members to do this prior to Christmas every year so that they can genuinely go on that break knowing they've got a plan for when they get back. And instead of spending that first couple of weeks back, you know, frantically trying to get across everything, you're just ready to go. Just get moving. And that gives you a lot of peace of mind when you go into that break, because you know, hey, I'm sorted, nothing I'm going to do now, and I know exactly what I'll do when I get back, so we're good.
Yeah, and this is important to look at what you do before you go on your vacation, your break. And I know you know we've covered this on other pods, but if you finish the year staggering to the finish line, absolutely exhausted, and you're finishing at 6 o'clock on the Friday before you have a break, that's not a good approach.
No.
Because you're absolutely wrecked to start with, and odds on you haven't done any planning because you've just tried to close all the loops and keep everyone happy and get everyone's job done before Christmas or break, or, you know, insert break here, summer break. So what you want to do is be very intentional about actually, you know, leave that week before you finish empty, because jobs will fill in that, but it also gives you the time to actually get some headspace about planning for what's coming up so that then you have the holiday. It's all about the intentionality.
That's right. That's right. So massive is to preload. I think the next one is closing up shop. So for me, this is closing down mental tabs. Now, a bunch of people I know that work in our business, where if you looked at their desktop, there's about 1,000 tabs open on their internet browser.
Damon
Fisher, Chief of Marketing. That's you. Josh as well. Josh Campbell, he's classic for this.
Marketing as well.
Yeah, marketing. And something about these marketing guys.
Dudes.
Funny how the sales guys never have many tabs open. But anyway, we won't go there.
I don't know what that says about them,
yeah,
but anyway.
Yeah, yeah, but hey, look, I think one thing is that, you know, everyone has mental tabs open, right? And I think one really important thing before you go into your break is you need to close as many of those mental tabs as you possibly can. And we've had a really great speaker come and speak to us, former international cricketer, Richard Petrie, and he talked about green zone thinking, right?
Yeah, and green zone is basically the things you can control. Amber zone is the things you got influence over, and red zone is the stuff that you have no control over. And so what tends to happen is we are thinking about things that we can influence, and it might be a classic example, actually, because I've got kids, is, you know, how well they do at school. Yeah. You can influence that because you can help them, you can encourage them, you can coach them. But at the end of the day, you can't control it because they've got to do the yards, and that's part of learning.
Right. So that's amber, not green.
That's amber, not green. Green is just like how I show up, the processes that I follow, the thought processes that I have, that I can control, you know. And like for a sports person, that might be just the training you do, sticking to my training, sticking to my my nutrition.
Yep.
But I can't control the result of the game.
No.
So that's the difference. And it's very useful in this context, isn't it?
Control it. So obviously you have influence, but no control. That's amber. Red is like, if it rains during the game, it's like, I have no control over the weather, man. That's just, it just can't even be in my mind. And I think when it comes to business, and more importantly to your break, there are things that you can do. There are mental tabs you have open, which are green zone tabs, things that you can do, things you can change, things that are completely within your control. One thing that's really good to do is you either plan out that green zone stuff you're going to do prior to your break, so it is done and that tab is closed, or you preload it into the next year so that you know you will do it when you get back. But you've sectioned it, you've categorized it, you've put it somewhere, so you know you're going to do the thing when you can. Obviously, amber, there might be some stuff that you can do to influence results, but you need to acknowledge that even though I do this stuff, I'm still not guaranteeing what I want. So again, will I make the actions to influence either before or after the break? But by categorizing it into before or after the break, I'm leaving that break as a break. And then some of the mental tabs you have open, and this is where the real beauty is, you will be able to write down everything in your head. Again, writing down is the key. Write down everything that's in your head, all those mental tabs, and just decide, is this green, amber, or red? Greens and ambers, when will I do something about this? But the reds, genuinely close them. There is nothing you can do about that. Nothing. And if you carry those tabs into the break, you're going to be stewing and stressing about stuff that you literally can't do anything about. And there's just no point. There's such a waste of energy. And I think logically we know that, but emotionally it's hard, which is why writing it down, categorizing it as red, is very powerful because it keeps it front of mind.
Yeah, and an example might help you. Maybe you're hitting the break and you're short of a key tradesperson or technician. Now, finding that person is, it's not a green zone activity because you can't make that person apply. It's not a red zone activity either because you have some influence over it. And so your process is, well, I'm going to decide before we leave, I'm going to get the job ad up and out so that it's doing the work.
Well, the job ad out as a green zone activity.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I can do.
Yeah.
And then I'm not going to look at it over the break. And when I come back, I'm going to assess all the candidates. That's
So you've chosen two green zone parts of a amber zone outcome, and you've put them in the right place so that you know you can switch off.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. The red zone thing in that is that there is absolutely nothing I can do about any of this process while I'm not at work. And unlikely I'm going to get a ton more applicants on Christmas Day anyway. So, you know, during the break, there is nothing I should be doing about this. And it helps you to really switch off. Which brings me to the next thing. These have all been strategies so far about how to unplug your mind. But the next thing is how to fill those batteries up with intention. And so I think the first thing with this is intentional rest. Now, one thing that I find very difficult is if I sit down and I have nothing to do in the day and I'm telling myself I'm going to chill out today, I probably don't. I probably run around the house, my wife calls it pottering, where basically I'm going to find a million jobs to do because I've told myself I'm going to do nothing, which means I'm going to subconsciously fill that with other stuff. Whereas intentional rest is planning to do stuff in advance that you know you find restful. So, I mean, different people will have different stuff they find restful, like, what's restful for you, man?
Mate, podcasting, very restful for me with you.
Oh, yeah,
mate.
Absolutely.
I love having an afternoon nap.
Cool.
And so I lock that into my you know, sort of schedule for holidays is like, so between 2 or 3 o'clock, I'm gonna have a little light, a little nana nap. Yep. And that's what we do. I know I'm gonna do that, and everyone knows, so that's what we do.
Yeah, perfect. So again, like, you would lock that in, and you would know you're gonna have a nap at that time because it's something that's gonna fill your batteries. For me, surfing, massive. Like, I know if I really want to have a really good battery recharge, again, physically, this is actually a workout. But like mentally, emotionally, spiritually, this is a massive recharge. And so for me, that's a restful activity. And so I think the key with this is often we can confuse rest with a lack of activity, but there are often activities that we can find restful. My dad loves mowing lawns, man. He loves it. And like, I know that when he gets back from mowing the lawn, he might be hot, sweaty, covered in grass, but
he's happy.
He is happy and rested. He, you know, 'cause mentally he's had a huge switch off, which is,
I think the thing here that we're driving at is because we're on the go, we're used to taking lots of activity. If we just leave a big empty space, we'll fill it with a bunch of stuff.
Nature pours a vacuum.
It does. We'll like find something to wash. We'll find, if we're at a beach house, we'll find something to fix. Whatever, insert, you know, whatever in. It's about creating a structure so you know my day's. It doesn't have to be down to the minute. That's ridiculous. But it's like my day's going to look something like this. I've got golf planned here. I've got blocks of time in there, so that it gives me some structure, so that I feel like I've actually done something with the day and I've done some stuff that I know that I like and is good for me.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the key is it'll be different for everyone, but if you can kind of think about what's going to be rejuvenating or restful for me, and again, it doesn't have to be every day, definitely not every minute of every day, but if you get some of these activities into your break, then you know you have planned some stuff that you know will recharge your batteries, which is just going to do a world of good for you and for your family. And then the next thing for me is planning memories that you'll make. Because I think we all go into these breaks going, can't wait to make memories with my family. Or if you don't have a family yet, it's like, can't wait to have a great break and have some fun. But if you don't plan what you're actually going to do to make that happen, then it's all to chance. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. And I think too often it doesn't if we don't plan. So I think the key with this is like, if you're going to go somewhere with your family, like being there is cool, but what will you do when you get there? And this doesn't have to be rock solid, like military precision plan. It's just, it's like, hey, we might do this activity. We might do this thing. We might go kayaking. We might go out on the boat, or we might go to this theme park, or we might, you know, have a picnic or whatever it might be. But like, what's going to be the things that you will do in this break that you will be able to look back on and go, man, that was cool. I'm so stoked we did that. And I think, again, this is different for everybody. Depends on the break, depends what's going on. I mean, if you're over in the northern hemisphere and it's snowing, it's like, maybe you're going to make snowmen. You know, like, what's something you can
go skiing.
You go skiing. Like, what's something you can do? You have marshmallows over the fire. Like, whatever it is, what are some things we could do, big or small, that we can look back on fondly and think, that was great, man. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and we have a thing of when we're on holiday, and particularly if it's like we're visiting a place for holiday, we'll do one thing a day, and there's a time block for that. So it's probably an afternoon or a morning. Normally it ends up being a little bit longer because you've got to muck around, but you do that.
Getting 4 kids out the house. That's not a quick process.
Right. It's not a quick process, you're right. I was going to mention something about a few other people in my house.
don't go there.
No, that's right. It could go bad. So we just lock in that and what we're going to do on those days, and it leaves another part for free. So we kind of know what we're doing. We never wake up thinking, what are we doing? Yeah. Which is a kind of feeling on holiday, because you're like, yeah, sometimes it's okay, but in general, putting some thought into how it's going to roll really makes it better. Like, intentionality is good with everything.
Not only that, but like, one thing I've found is that, especially if you've got kids, and the younger they are, the more the supplies, I feel, is it creates excitement. And I think that's really cool, you know, because every day, you know, like we go camping a lot, take the caravan, go to the beach, go camping. It's heaps fun. We always have great fun, but we always do the same thing, right? Like, we plan each day, this day is going to be a beach day, this day is going to be we're going to go on this walk, that day we're going to, and it's never the whole day, it's just something you're going to do in the day. Every night, you know, we're putting the kids to bed and they go, what are we going to do tomorrow? And we're actually able to say, well, tomorrow we're going to spend the day at the beach, we'll bring the surfboards, we'll bring the paddle boards, we'll bring this, it'll be heaps of fun. And they go to bed excited, going, man, I can't wait. And then they wake up in the morning and they go, I can't wait, let's go do this thing. And then you go and do it and it's awesome because everyone has gone into it really with a positive frame of, this is going to be great, I can't wait to do it. Whereas when you wake up in the morning with no plan, one thing that's very difficult is everyone just kind of mills around and the day starts off on the wrong foot sometimes.
Because you're stressed.
Yeah.
Kids, what are we doing today?
Yeah.
You know, and that creates a whole lot of stress.
Exactly.
Yeah. For me, there's something else important here as a parent, and a lot of people listening are parents. If you're not, you know, I apologize, but some of this is useful anyway. is as a parent, you feel like you want to make sure the kids have a good time. If you've got a partner, same thing, you want to make sure they're having a good time. And so you'll do that in the holiday, do things they want to do. I've got to be honest, as a business owner, you're also super important. So you need to make sure that you do create some space for yourself.
Absolutely.
In this, because I think business owners, we're often thinking about everyone else, our employees, etc. You just got to be careful on holiday that you don't fill everyone else's cup. You've got to fill yours as well. And I don't mean being selfish. I'm not meaning that, but you do need to be a little bit, you know, selfish sometimes.
Well, you
know
what I mean? And you hit the nail on the head,
man. That's very, very important, because when you do that, then you can show up for everyone. That's the key.
And I think that, again, if you're looking at this, think about that beach holiday that I'm talking about. You know, we go to the beach, we have a whole beach day, which is great. You know, that's all with the kids. And during that time, I'm helping my kids surf. But then they're going to go back and they'll have some downtime. And, you know, I might have arranged with my wife that day, you guys are going to go back and I'm going to stay and then I'm going to have a surf, you know. And then there'll be a different part of the day where she's going to go and do something for her. And I think it's, you need everybody to be able to fill their cup for everybody to be able to actually fill each other's cups too. And I think that's key. And if you don't have kids, you're probably experiencing this with your friends, you know, during that break.
Your partner.
You've got people in your life still that you were going to share this holiday with. And the key is like making it great for each other and as a group, you know, requires making it great for yourself as well. It's just crucial.
It is.
Sweet. All right, well, we've covered some good stuff. Should we land this plane?
Let's do it. So making memories is important. Being intentional about your holidays is important. And if you're not intentional, it's probably not going to be the break or the vacation that you want. So the key to success, like anything, is to make a plan in advance, put it into action. Then you're going to have a great break. You're going to hit the new year full of beans and you're going to make some great memories for yourself and your family.
Amazing.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
We keep experiencing that same drama every single year if we don't make a change. The holidays can be a really tough time for trades businesses. Tune into this episode where we discuss how to not just survive through the holidays, but thrive and get the jump on the new year.
And then your cash flow suffers and it's just this massive effect where there's cash going out, there's way less cash coming in, you know, it's going in the wrong direction.
You can charge higher prices during these times because, yeah, demand's going to outweigh supply. So it's just law of economics, really.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.